Yes. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Yes, let's go. Happy Friday. Happy All New York Devo. Coming at you live from New Jersey. Oh, I've been spotlighted. How you doing? Hey, coming at you live from New Jersey. This is our New Jersey Campus Ministry studio space. We got some legit projectors, lights going on. But what really matters is the Word of God. So we're bringing that. But hope you guys are doing well tonight. I'm excited to talk about relationships. And speaking of relationships, we got Mark and the future Hannah Persing in the call right now. Congratulations on the homeboy, homegirl getting engaged. We're so happy for you guys. It was they came over on Thursday and just talking about the plans for the wedding. And it's so special. You know, Mark was the best man in my wedding. And so I feel very privileged just to speak about relationships tonight as relationships are popping up all over the place. But we're excited for you guys, Mark and Hannah. But tonight, we're going to be talking about real relationships. This is where it would have been nice to have a PowerPoint, because real relationships. We don't want any fake relationships. We don't want any, you know, half-baked, half-made relationships. We want the real deal. And the cool thing was that God made relationships. When God, him in itself is a three-part relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sure. But then God made man to have a relationship with man in the garden. They walked in the garden. And God said, well, hey, my dudes are jacked up. They need a partner. They need a friend. And so God straight up took a rib from Adam. Sorry, vegans. Took a rib from Adam and made Eve. God said, man, it's not suitable for man to be alone. And so who did God bring? God brought a sister. God brought a woman into his life. And so part of real relationships, hey, it was part of God's plan for us to have great male-female relationships. Okay, that's A1, day one, is having these relationships that are even cross-gender, but certainly not being alone. It was God's plan for us to have great relationships. Let me start my timer, otherwise I'll be preaching to you guys for 45 minutes, because I could talk about relationships for a long time. There you go. Okay, so it's coronavirus, and it's funny for me even to mention that because it feels like year 27 in the coronavirus. Hopefully all y'all are doing well and healthy. But the real deal is that this semester is going to be really different. A lot of our relationships are easily made by coming to midweek on Wednesdays. We have our Friday night devotionals that are totally intended about building friendships. And for a lot of us, relationships sort of just happen naturally. You show up, you plug in, and someone gives you a friendship. Hey, how you doing? But now with the coronavirus, fellowship looks a lot different, right? You don't just hang out. If you hang out during the fellowship on a Zoom chat, you get to hear a conversation between three people. Meanwhile, there's 90 people on the chat. It gets real awkward, okay? And so relationships this time is going to look different. And it has to, because we need relationships. Like I said, God made it so that man should not be alone. To be the best that God created us to be the happiest that God created us to be, we need relationships. Back in the day, I wish I knew the year, but back in the day, Harvard University put together a study, and it's been the largest or the longest duration longitudinal study that Harvard's ever put together. And it's called the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And they took 724 Harvard graduate males, and for the last 75 years have been tracking their progress throughout life. Some of them have died. Some of them are no longer alive. But they've been tracking, and every year they call them up and ask them questions. Ask them qualitative questions. Ask them quantitative questions. Ask them about their relationships and their dreams and where they're at and what they're doing. And it's interesting the kind of people that are produced from that. One of those people is actually a president. But of that study, when they were 25 years old, the Harvard researchers asked them the question, what is most important to you right now? 80% of the Harvard graduates said to be rich. 50% of the Harvard graduates said to be famous. Okay? I mean, how the math works, I'm not sure. But that was the priority for these 25-year-olds. But as they followed them throughout life, those who made it to 80 years old, across the board, conclusively, every single one of them, when asked, what is most important to you right now? The response was something along the lines of having quality relationships. You know, a life of making money, a life of securing their dreams, what it all comes down to is how is the quality of my relationships? They actually determined in that study that there is a definite, let me read that, definite correlation between emotion, or what is it, relational connection, quality of relationships, and physical health. They were able to determine nearly conclusively that at 50 years old, if you had quality relationships around you, your physical health would be good at the age of 80. The statistics backed it. In fact, if they had poor relationships or at the age of 50, almost conclusively, their health was depreciated at the age of 80. Their health was lower than those who had quality relationships. Did you catch that? Science is proving what God has been saying all along. It is not good for us to be alone. We need quality relationships. It actually has a physical effect on your life. Praise God for the church, because that's where real relationships are forged. You know, God, like I said, made relationships. And if he made relationships, he made the best version of relationships. The world's kind of just jacked it up. Me and some of the boys, Makai, who just got baptized, and Tommy, we were playing basketball earlier today. And we were in a break between games. And some of the guys were playing ball with sat on the side. And what were they talking about? They were talking about trying to get that 50-ounce liquor for the night. And they're going to all take shots. They were sharing stories of glory between them and the girls that they've messed around with. And sure enough, they were slandering one another, making fun of each other on the basketball court. And I looked at that and I was like, man, that's so fake. Those are fake relationships. Listen, I don't know their life, but the real talk is that was shallow. And then I thought about my relationships in high school. I mean, none of us were that good looking. So it wasn't about girls, but it was about video games. And it was about you name it, but it was so shallow. And if you were lucky, maybe you talk a little bit about how was your weekend. But that was the extent of our relationships. But what's so cool about the church, what's so cool about what God creates, is something so much richer and so much deeper. It might be cliche. You've heard this scripture 1,000 times. If you haven't heard it, you're in for a treat tonight. But we're going to rewind the clock. We're going to go back to first century Christianity. We're going to look at the first church, the first couple months of the first church. And what were they like? Maybe you can quote this scripture by memory, but this is a fire scripture because this is our lineage. This isn't like some fire group of disciples. This is our brothers and sisters from a couple years ago. That's the first century church. That's who we are a part of. And so we get to look at them for inspiration of who we get to be right now, who we're called to be right now. And so in Acts chapter 2, let me make sure my Bible is flipped upside right. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 3,000 people get baptized from 15 different cultures and nations and backgrounds and dishes, and you name it. They all get baptized and they have together the church. None of them go home. And so here they are sticking in Jerusalem, and this is their definition. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I mean, if you want to put in the chat right now what your favorite part of that early church was, go ahead and throw it in there. But all I know was that group was faithful and they were fun. I mean, yeah, they were faithful. They were spiritual. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the prayer, the fellowship. That's who they were all about. But they're also fun, right? I mean, they would get in each other's houses and they break gluten in front of each other and they eat it together. They have feasts. They have parties. They get together. That was family. Unlike the world, or even unlike the religious world, where you go to church on Sunday, peace be with you, peace be with you, have a great day, and you don't talk to them until next holiday, man, God's church, it's not about people just checking in, checking out. It's about real relationships. I know you and you know me, devoted to one another. Going into this new semester with the coronavirus being what it is and schools being uncertain and us probably having to rely on digital relationships for a long while, we got to really figure out how to emulate or bring this first century culture to New York City and New Jersey. That's our history. That's what we get to be. And so I want to talk about these 2 points, faithful and fun. And then my queen, my smoking spiritually, I'm going to say my amazing wife is going to share a little bit. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. But I want to start off by talking about faithful, relationships that are faithful. Despite being very different, very different. I mean, you had people who were coming up from Africa to Jerusalem. You had Europeans and you had Asians. You know, shout out to all those differences that are in the chat right now, that are in the all y'all coming from Africa, coming from Asia, coming from Europe, Ria Hungaria, I'm from Hungary. And so they all came together with different languages, different foods, different backgrounds, different appreciations, different styles. Yet the Bible says that they had everything in common. And that's not true. I'm going to call the Bible out on that. That's a little play on words that Luke had there. They had everything different, but their everything was in common. Despite all their differences, the most important thing in their life being Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection and God's love, that was their everything. And so despite their differences, they were able to come together and be brothers and sisters like we've never seen before. That's what we get to tap into, is that these faithful spiritual relationships are what bonds us. Check this out, Colossians 1:17. The Bible says he is talking about Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our relationships, especially the quality relationships, are only held together by Jesus. Deep, that is not just the glue. That's the kintsugi gold that John Markowski was talking about on Sunday. That's what interlays itself in between our relationships. It's got to be Jesus. He's what holds us together. You know, is Jesus the glue that is at the center of your relationships with your brothers and sisters? Or is he an afterthought? Are you talking about Jesus? Are you praying to Jesus? Are you doing Jesus together? Is he the center of your relationship? Now, Brielle said, don't share this because she's a vegan, but I'm going to say it anyway. So, this idea of being corny is a real fear that I think people our age are afraid of. We're afraid of being corny. We're afraid of being considered fake. We're afraid of people looking at us and being cliche or predictable. I'm real. I'm the real deal. But I want you to think for a second about what it means to be corny. Sometimes being corny is okay. A cow's diet is a strong mix between grass, wheat, and corn. That corn is necessary for the growth and physical health of that animal. So in that case, that corn is okay to have. And I think in our spiritual relationships, a little bit of corniness goes a long way. It's part of a healthy relationship. Now, what am I talking about? You know, in our attempt to be genuine and real, we often avoid corny situations, things that don't feel natural to us for fear of being different or weak. Sometimes we don't ask certain questions for the fear of being corny. How are you? No. How are you really? Oh, that's corny, man. I don't want to say that. Well, hey, that's part of a spiritual relationship. What are you learning in your quiet times? Hey, can we pray together? What's been the best part of your week? What's been the high? What's been the low of your week? Now, you might be hearing that and, that's weird, man. That's like my dad talking to me. But hold on one second. Sometimes that's part of a strong, healthy relationship. You might think, man, I don't want to be fake. Newsflash, Luke 9:23, what does Jesus say? If you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. You have to do what you don't want to do. Sometimes that's part of being that. No, that is part of being a disciple. I think that's part about having deep relationships in God's church, is being willing to ask questions that are outside of our comfort zone. That might feel fake to us. I don't want to ask that. I don't want to look weird. I don't want to be pegged as the guy who's overly spiritual. Hey, brothers, if you're pegged as the guy who's overly spiritual, sisters will like you. How you doing? Sisters, same thing, okay? But we have to be willing to ask the deep questions, because it goes a long way. So Brielle's going to share about what we can practically do to develop quality relationships. Go for it, B.
Hi, you guys. Thanks so much for letting me share. I wanted to share with you guys a scripture that's really helped me in my relationships, and that's Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And give you a second, and I'll read it. Thanks for the comments about my hair. I see it. Okay, so Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so usually we use this scripture to talk about church and meetings of the body and all of that, but really it can be applied to our relationships like at a church level, but also in a one-on-one level. And in this scripture, it describes a bad habit that the disciples were falling into regarding their relationships with one another. And they were in the habit of not meeting together. And that's what they're talking about here. They were starting to become independent and maybe relying on themselves, when God knew, like Matt was saying, they were designed to rely on one another. And this scripture, it also describes some really good habits that the author is encouraging the church to have. And it talks about habitually encouraging one another. And that is the habit, you know, that it should be our habit to build one another up. And so I Googled the definition of a habit, and this is what the internet told me, that it's an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. And so when you're doing something out of habit, you've done it so many times on purpose that you don't even realize you're doing it anymore. And it just becomes a natural part of you. And so in regards to our relationships with one another, what are you in the habit of doing? What habits, good and bad, have become so natural in your relationships that you don't even realize you're doing it? Some examples I thought of, you know, is it habitual for you to spur your brothers and sisters on? That means putting real thought into how to help those around you love God better. Is that your habit? Are you in the habit of meeting together regularly with spiritual people to help you grow, whether that means at a midweek or at a Friday, or just in conversation? Are you in the habit of regularly being vulnerable with disciples in your life? This scripture calls us to consider ways we can help each other, which no one can do for you if you aren't regularly sharing what's going on in your life. Are you in the habit of considering only those who've considered you first? You know, or are you in the habit of being the one that initiates and goes after connecting with other disciples first, even if they haven't reached out to you? You know, our God is so gracious, and, you know, he never expects us to be perfectly vulnerable or perfectly encouraging or the perfect brother or sister, but he does fairly expect us to have good habits. And I would encourage each of us to take some time tonight reflecting and praying for God to reveal your habits in your relationships, the good ones and the bad ones, because, again, habits are almost involuntary to us. And so you might not even be aware of the things that you're doing in your relationships. Let's all take some time to make a plan for the semester with some new good habits that we want to build back into our relationships.
Right on. Guys, Bree, you're amazing. I love you. I love your hair. Okay, so I want to go to this last point here about having fun. And that's the part about the church that we love, that we get to be a part of, is having fun. That's what the first century church was. You think about Jesus. Jesus didn't have to walk on water. And then he went ahead. Who do you think brought the fog in? God, Jesus was in control of the fog. My bet is that he brought it in to try and look like a ghost to scare the disciples. okay? But Jesus did his thing. The church had fun, breaking bread in their homes, being together. As disciples, this is just a fact. Our greatest memories on the overall scale are going to be with other people. Even in preparing this lesson, I was looking back at my college years, and I couldn't think, an immediate thought didn't come to mind of something that I did by myself that was memorable. There were plenty of things I did, but the majority of my thoughts were thinking about things that I did with other people. You know, that's so cool that God has given us one another to have these special, fun relationships. You know, you're not going to look back and think, wow, yeah, I was in college and I became Call of Duty, Third Commander, Green Beret. Like that's not going to be memorable. But having the memories together, that's awesome. And I just want to share a couple of my memories from campus ministry. Maybe as some inspiration or some permission to do some things that you wouldn't normally do. But I remember being a resident assistant at William Patterson University. And I was on the second floor. I was on the third floor. And downstairs in that same door, there were a couple of disciples who lived in the dorm. Brielle, who she and I weren't dating at the time, but also two of the other sisters were down there. And I remember getting a phone call like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night from some random person saying, hey, in room 101, there's this crazy music going on. Can you come downstairs and break up the party? It's after hours. I'm like, oh, 101, wait, that's the disciples' room. What the heck? And so I go downstairs, I go down the hall, I go off the elevator, probably 50 feet away, and out of the corner, out of the down the hallway, you could hear this, play that funky music, white boy, just blasting on the stereo system. And so I go in, I knock again. I knock a third time. And on the third time, I got the master key. And so I open the door, I let myself in, and I beeline it to the MP3 player. I'm running to the MP3 player, and Brielle pops out of the closet. The sister jumps off the top of the bed, and the third one jumps out from behind the bathroom wall, and she scares the snot out of me. I will never, ever forget that memory. That's one of my favorite memories, thinking about college. You know, I'll share this. We took the William Patterson family group. There's about 15 of us at the time, and we decided, man, we're going to have an epic night being on campus together. We're going to have fun. What could really enhance this? And I remember taking the entire William Patterson campus ministry to the top of one of the newest buildings in our school. And so we went up four floors. We got up there. We opened the latch, went up, do not enter. I don't know. We got up there, and there is a beautiful view of the city. And we're worshiping God. We're praying. We're having fun. And then two cops pop their head out the hatch for where we went upstairs. They look at us. They call us down. They curse us out. They tell us, hey, who's in charge here? That's me. They could have all died, and they wouldn't have found their bodies till Monday because of you. It's like, what? But I remember walking away from that. And Mark lovingly, as a brother he was, challenged a snot out of me. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You see how irresponsible it is? But I'll tell you the fact, guys, that was so much fun. And I'll never forget that. So I'm not advocating for you to do illegal things. But I am saying, man, those relationships, those times together are so special. The bike rides. Remember Rob and I, Novak, we did a 35-mile bike ride around New York City. And I was about to, you know, spit my lunch out at the end. But it was so much fun. Again, 50 chicken nugget challenge, where each of us were eating 50 chicken nuggets in a matter of 10 minutes. I mean, you name it. Video games until from Saturday night until church on Sunday, showing up looking like that we were demon-possessed. I mean, the memories that you're going to have in the campus ministry, it's going to be with other people. That's how God designed it. I really believe that. And so have fun. These memories are unforgettable. It was great seeing Michelle and Rachel on Instagram giving their food review of some Popeye's chicken that they just ate. I remember Michelle saying, like, hey, it feels like this chicken was just cracked the like today. This is some fresh chicken. And it was just funny seeing that on Instagram together. That's memorable. Those are some memories you're going to have. I want to encourage you to get creative. Right now, if you can't be together, do something. If you can be together, lean in to the times that you can be together. Do something. Be social distance. Wear a mask. But have fun. You know, I do want to encourage you. This is the time to, again, going back to the corny thing, this is a time to reach out and make some phone calls. hey, bro, how you doing? Share, you know, watch some Netflix party together. Do something together. I don't know what it is, but for me, I've always avoided the relational things. I so naturally, despite being an extroverted person, I so naturally would prefer being by myself throughout the day. And even when events happen, sometimes campus ministry events, but even just random hangouts, almost always I feel this strong pull of I do not want to go or I do not want to do. But I can't even tell you the countless times and when I didn't want to go, deciding to go, the memories that were forged because of that. And so I want to encourage you guys to lean in to the relationships. Have fun. Make memories together while you're here and get creative. So tonight what we're going to do is a little different. Instead of having discussion groups or, you know, sharing, we're going to have sharing amongst each other with a little thing I like to call speed fellowship. And so Garnett is going to help me. Garnett and I put this together for y'all tonight. But stay on, and we're going to explain it because it's going to be a lot of fun. And we are bridging the Hudson River as well as the East River, and we're going to be mixing groups amongst all of us. And so tonight is an opportunity to get the kindling going, the starter of the fire going for some relationships that are going to last, hopefully for a long time. And maybe you'll start in your groups, get to notice some certain things about people that you didn't know. But we're going to have Garnett help me in a second here. But it's going to be, tonight, you're going to have a chance to meet a lot of different people. And you're going to be put into groups, breakout rooms, for 5 to 6 minutes. After your 5 to 6 minutes with a prompt or a question, you're going to be pulled out of that group, back into the lobby, switched your group up, and then put in a new group, okay? And this is just going to be a lot of fun. Garnett came up with some great questions. I got some questions in there, too. And this is a time to get to know one another and make some memories. So without further ado, Garnett, if you want to hop on here and share anything that I missed. Hey, there you go, girl.
Hey. All right. Hi, guys. So wonderful to see your lovely faces. So again, as Matt said, this is speed fellowship. You will get 5 to 6 minutes to talk amongst yourselves. Try to keep in mind what the time is because everybody's got to talk.